Hello, food and wine fans. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio Year 14. We thank our segment sponsors for joining us. The Hatch in West Kelowna, Mooncursor in Osoyoos, Enrico in the Cowichan Valley, and Hillside on the Naramata Bench. Two guests this week. We start with the Wine Diva, who has another list for us. It's her top 50 of 2020. Wines over $20 and wines 92 points or better. She tastes all year long. To create this list, the least we can do is take you through it. If you'd like to join us, just go to thewinediva.ca, look under wines, and then look under wine lists. Follow along or print it up. The printed up is pretty important because then you can carry it with you. And Ian Tostison, who is the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association, who are watching over the life, the struggle of our restaurants all over the province. We're going to talk about economic fallout, downtown Vancouver and Victoria, and what's happened to dining. We'll talk about takeout and delivery and farms and markets, the new health restrictions, and how long do these restaurants have to hold on until they can see the light of day? And will the vaccine help? Anyway, all of that and more with Ian Tostison, President, CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. Here's Tasting Room Radio. Enjoy. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley with a microclimate that allows them to grow seven different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. And speaking of reds, they are now introducing their Red Friday mix-and-match case lot sale for all of their red wines. It makes an amazing gift for the holidays. That offer is on the table until Christmas Eve. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I promised online that Dana Van Mulligan, the Wine Diva, would return, perhaps, on her phone, on her diva phone, to talk to us. And you can follow along if you wish at winediva.ca. You can also find her on Facebook, Wine Diva, and on Twitter, at The Wine Diva. You have been busy, though. All of the articles that you've written for Vines and Monte Cristo and Vitus and a Taste magazine, I always go to the wine lists. I don't know what it is, but I have always gone to wine lists. I just want to see the lists. And that's where it all opens up for me. And we're going to start with what looks like it has the potential to be a two-parter here. The top 50 of 2020. How did they make the top 50?
These wines are obviously over $20, and they have scored 92 points or higher on my second website, winescores.ca.
So, I mean, and not many do, right? You don't hand those points out willy-nilly.
Well, this year was interesting because I had more higher scoring wines this year than I've had, I think, in all previous years so far. So usually I would take the wines that were 91 points or higher and put them into this list. But there was so many high scoring wines I took from 92 and above.
Wow. Did that take you by surprise?
A little bit. But at this year, I think there's been more samples coming in a different way because we're not actually able to travel or sit down with winemakers. So the wines that are coming in, I think, are also a different quality.
And on a bigger scale kind of type of question, how's wine doing? Not just regionally, but wine in particular. Is it doing as well as I read about and hear about?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, I keep seeing articles that millennials are drinking more wine. You know, we're all drinking more wine because we're stuck at home to begin with. But and then you read articles that say we're not necessarily drinking more, but we're drinking more frequently. So whereas we might only drink on the weekends and drink more, people are drinking a little bit every day.
All right, let's get to this part one here. The top 50 for 2020, over $20, and right off the top, I think it's important that that we start with some serious class here. Tell us about your wine from Bordeaux and the wine from Burgundy in the second and third position.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been, we've done a few tastings like this, Zoom tastings, and Then some sample tastings virtually, obviously. And I've got the Chateau Lynch Moussas, which is a Grand Cru Classé from Pauillac. And it's about a $90 bottle. So this is one of those ones. It's a special bottle that you're going to give to somebody or put in your own cellar for a few years. It's a 2017 vintage. Just a beautiful wine. It comes from the gravelly soils of the Médoc. And for me, this is like a real cellar keeper. And also from Puy-Foussé, so Burgundy, we have the Domaine de Douroche. It's an old vine, Vella Vigna, and it's a 2017 vintage, and it comes in at about $50. But any of the wines from this Domaine are really outstanding, and they really do focus on Chardonnay, creamy, rich, and really elegant wines.
Let me look at Penner Ash Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, you know, we don't get to see a lot from Willamette these days. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just not a lot from Oregon and Washington that really comes up. So when we do get to taste it, I'm just delighted. This is just a rich, beautiful Pinot Noir. It's $60, and it's the 2017 vintage.
Stone Street Estate Vineyards, a cab from Alexander Valley in Sonoma.
Yeah, so this wine, if you prefer, or you kind of lean towards a Bordeaux style, you know, old world style Cabernet, this is definitely more along those style. It's not a Napa Valley. The Alexander Valley, it's completely different. It's cooler climate. But this has got a very elegant wine. It's a 2016, $55, and definitely has that old world kind of aesthetic to it.
And several valleys over, the Copain Chardonnay from the Anderson Valley area.
Yeah, and Copain, I've got Copain popping up in a few of my lists this year. These wines across the board are fantastic. They have an entry level as well in them, but the Voisin Chardonnay, which is a 2017, is around $50 in BC private wine stores.
She's the wine diva, Dana Van Mulligan. You can follow along at winediva.ca. The lists are just, if there's a drop down when you see wines, the menu drops down, and then just go down to wine list and hit it. And then you'll note, and I always say this, it is important, on the right hand side, top right hand side, it says print this list up. Sure, click on that, it drops down, there's your list, print it up, because it's invaluable when you really, really read you need inspiration. That's what you want to pull out of your pocket or your bag. Schrader Cellars, the Double Diamond cab from Napa.
Yeah, well, this one, okay, Schrader Cellars itself, I mean, they are they're impossible to get. You have to be on a list to get on their list, and their wines are in, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of dollar mark, and they get their grapes from this particular the Double Diamond is their they call it their entry level, but it's still over $100 here. But it's called the Double Diamond, and it is basically to make a wine that more people can get a hold of. And their winemaker is he's had more 100 point scoring wines in Wine Spectator than any other winemaker in history. So this is the right now you can have the 2017, 2018 versions, but you're looking at private wine stores about $120 to $150.
I see there's a Ruffino there, a Reserva actually, Grand Selection from Chianti Classico, Tuscany.
Yes, and the Ducale Oro, which is a very well-known, it's the gold label you see on the Ruffino wines. This happens to be the Gran Selezione, which is the highest tier of the Chianti Classico wines. It's an outstanding wine. It's $47. You know, if you love your Italian wines anyway, this is one you want.
Let's stay with the Italians for a second. The Corsini Barbaresco from Piedmont.
Yeah, so this particular producer, Arl Dica, they make wines from a number of different regions in Italy. This one happens to be their Barbaresco. I'm a big fan of Barbaresco. It's got this floral and red fruit, roses, a character. It's very silky, and about $45 in BC private wine stores.
Altesino, Brunello di Montalcino from Tuscany.
Right. And, you know, one of my favorite places, Montalcino, this Brunello is, this is a 2014 vintage. So this has been cellared for you. And you can get it in BC liquor stores for $60. If you love your Brunellos, they're Sangiovese, but they're different than what you would what you're going to get from Chianti Classico.
I have to ask you about the Tedeschi, the Amarone Valpolicella from Veneto. You've schooled me about Veneto. You like that region and you like the wines from there.
Yeah, I've spent quite a bit of time in Valpolicella. So and Tedeschi is a family producer. The family, Riccardo Tedeschi, comes to Vancouver at least once a year. He's well known in the market here. Wonderful family producer. Amarone, as you know, they're rich, unctuous. They're powerful, long-lived wines. And this one at BC Liquor Stores is $59.
I know, Dana, I know that you have a bubble list, of course, and it's fantastic. And we hope to talk to you about it. Bollinger, special cuvée, Champagne, France.
Yeah, this one will be in my bubble list as well, but it just kind of stood out this year in my top 50. $90. It is a non-vintage, but it's just a special cuvée Bollinger style. I like it. It's slightly toasty and with creamy fruit and nuts, but at the same time, it's got a lot of elegance to it.
L'Emile Valley Floor Shiraz from the Barossa Valley.
Yeah, it's always great to see Australia in here, and you know, 93 points for the L'Emile. And at a price of $34, my dog is still having a conversation with herself.
Sure.
At a price of $34, it is a great bottle, 2017, available in BC liquor stores.
She's saying, Mom, can we go now? Aldighieri Amarone della Valpolicella from Veneto, another Veneto wine.
Exactly. So this one is a 2012. So once again, it's got some really good age on it. And it is it's a family-owned winery since probably the mid-50s. And this is a blend of the traditional varieties that you would use in the region. Got chocolate, espresso, and it's very almost port-like in its concentration.
I'm going to take you down to the bottom of the list because we can't do them all. There's just too many. Jim Barry, the Lodge Hill Shiraz from Clare Valley in Australia. And the Vass Felix Chardonnay from Margaret River, which always gets my attention.
Yeah, I mean, Vass Felix, to me, because it's Western Australia, you're always going to have a little bit of different character. Their Cabernets are a little bit more, they're less of that opulent fruit and more freshness.
Yep.
And their Chardonnays are the same thing. Elegant, balanced, great creaminess. And this one is their Chardonnay is the 2016 version, and it's 94 points, by the way. This one made
$50. It's world class Chardonnay. It's absolute world class. Won the title, as a matter of fact. And the Jim Barry, the Lodge Shiraz from Clare.
Yeah, I love Clare Valley. It's a little bit cooler climate. If you want to talk about cool climate in Australia, it's a cooler climate in the region in the South Australia. And Jim Barry, the wines always have a freshness to them, and also just they're always kind of seamless and smoothly kind of run smoothly across your palate, and that's what I love about them. 2015 of the Lodge Hill is about $35 to $40 in private wine stores.
And for those of you who have heard about Penfolds and have dreamt of maybe swishing some of that around in your mouth, the Penfolds Bin 407 Cab Sav from South Australia.
This is definitely one of their premium wines.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's made from Cabernet that they get from McLaren Vale, Pathway, Barossa, Kunwara. So they blend the Cabernets from a bunch of different regions.
All right. So, Dana, it is a two-parter. When we come back, let's gather up the mostly British Columbia wines releases. There's a couple of other Canadian wines in there, especially from Nova Scotia, that we want to salute because they've come a long way to get recognized. So this is Dana Van Mulligan. She is the Wine Diva, and we are going down her top 50 for 2020, over $20, all tasted, all found to be 92 points or better. If you get to 91 or 92, you have done something very, very special. She is Dana Van Mulligan. She is the Wine Diva. We'll be back with part two right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow seven different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. And speaking of reds, they are now introducing their Red Friday Mix and Match case lot sale for all of their red wines. It makes an amazing gift for the holidays. That offer is on the table until Christmas Eve. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Led by veteran winemaker Kathy Malone. Just a heads up for December, a seated sensory tasting experience is available until December the 20th. Seasonal Saturdays at the Bistro every Saturday until December the 19th. There's a holiday gift guide and no limit complimentary shipping until December the 20th. All the details and hours of operation at hillsidewinery.ca. For those of you just joining us, this is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. She is the wine diva, Dana Van Mulligan. And you can find what we're talking about, her wine lists, at thewinediva.ca, winescores.ca. Both lists pull from those sources. These lists are just an extension of her personality. Go and find her. Just go. Listen, when you get to the Wine Diva website, there's lots of choices, but just go to wines and then drop down to wine lists and print it up when you finally get it. This is part two of her list that we're talking about today. It's the top 50 of 2020, 92 points or better, well over $20 in most cases. And I was astonished and happy to see that at least 16 Canadian titles got there, mostly from British Columbia. And I thought maybe we'd give it its own segment, if that's okay with you. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Courcelettes in the Similkameen Valley. They're Talus.
Yeah, this is the first time they have released this wine. It is their flagship wine. And it is all made from fruit grown on their own estates. It's a Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Verdot, and Malbec blend.
Wow.
And just released about, a month ago. And if you're lucky, you might be able to find some. You'll have to get it directly through the winery. But it is a new standard for wine in the Similkameen, and it's $50.
That's a bargain.
It is a bargain.
That's a bargain. That's a damn bargain if you can get your hands on it. How about Foxtrot Chardonnay? We know Foxtrot, of course, for their Pinot Noir, but they've shown up in the Chard side.
Yeah, and this, I tasted this one just, I think, about a week or two ago, and it is a substantial Chardonnay. You know, it's got some real heft to it. It's got that toastiness, that intensity. And it's also got that creaminess to it. These are really, really wonderful wines. This is the 2018 I'm talking about, and it's $44.
Foxtrot Chardonnay. Put those two words together. You'll understand. Township 7, 7 Stars, the Equinox.
So 7 Stars has now 5 sparklers in their portfolio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did their first traditional method back in 1999, and kind of on and off, it would come onto their portfolio and off. But ever since Michelle McDermott took over as winemaker, she's really brought their portfolio of sparkling wines up. And their wines, those sparkling wines, are absolutely top-notch in Canada. This happens to be one of them. This is the 2016 version. And it is I believe this one is all Pinot Noir. Yes, all Pinot Noir, so it's rosé. And it is $46.
Township 7, 7 Stars, Equinox. Cedar Creek, the Platinum Block Chardonnay.
So all of the Platinum Block wines, all the Platinum wines, are the top tier of Cedar Creek's wines.
Sure.
And they break them down by blocks where the wine comes from. They've got a Block 3 Riesling, for example, Block 2 and 4 Pinot Noirs. This is the Block 5. It's Chardonnay. It is It's wild fermented. It's got a stunning toasted kind of orange peel and hazelnuts. Beautiful wine, $35.
I like that. Good price, too. Lunescence, a gorgeous blend of Marsan, Roussan, and Viognier.
Yes, and they do this style of wine really, really well. They're actually, they took over a property in Summerland in 2014, and they're doing a lot of these Rhone-type blends, and the Marsan, Roussan, and Viognier, it's just a fragrant, perfumed wine, Meyer lemon and exotic spice. It's very kind of voluminous on the palate. This is $28, and it's the 2018 version.
Oh, that's fantastic. Lunescence, Winery and Vineyard, Marsan, Roussan, of Viognier. There's no brand name per se, like they didn't call it anything. But look for Lunescence. Look for that label. The Tantalus Vineyards, Old Vines, Riesling.
Yeah, so I know that on the website, pretty much all of Tantalus's wines are sold out right now. So if you're lucky enough to find them in a private store, I think that's where you're going to be lucky to find them. This is the 2017. Their Old Vines Rieslings are always, if you love Riesling, this is like a bit of the mecca of Riesling for British Columbia, at least one of them. There's a couple of really fantastic producers, but this is one of them. It's an ample wine. It's definitely got a kind of a slick texture to it. It's very racy and defined. A beautiful wine for $32.
That also is a bargain. When you think about Tantalus and their Old Vines Riesling, come on.
Absolutely.
Now, I make a small point here, just a small point. The Clos du Soleil Growers Series Middle Bench Syrah. When are we going to start to shorten up the titles now? Because like they're talking about where they're grown, the vines, but sometimes there's a clone in there. Someone should come along and maybe just do a two-word label like Clos du Soleil. Anyway, Clos du Soleil, that's just me. Picayune, Grower Series, Middle Bench, Syrah.
Yeah, I think that sometimes wineries do complicate things for themselves and for other people. But at the end of the day, I know that anything coming out of Clos du Soleil is going to be good. So I just kind of roll with it.
Yep.
And the Syrah is a 2017, about $33. And it's a stylish wine. It's got really high-toned bright fruit to it. Just a beautiful wine.
Here's how good they are. Meg doesn't know it yet, but there'll be a case of their rosé under the tree in a couple of days.
Fantastic.
Yep. Mission Hill, Jagged Rock Vineyard, their Chardonnay.
Yeah, so this is kind of the same as what we just talked about with the Clos du Soleil. They're doing a collection, which in Mission Hill calls the Terroir Collection. And that's why it's called the Jagged Rock Vineyard. And under that terroir collection, everyone will have a different vineyard name on it, every one of the wines, whether it be Chardonnay, Pinot. And this one is, it's like grilled peaches and lemon peel, and it's got a caramel kind of finish to it, but it's still a lot of freshness, and it's 2018 is $45.
She is Dana Van Mulligan, the Wine Diva. You can find her at winediva.ca and winescores.ca. We're doing several of her lists, and I'm pleased to say that this is the Canadian version of the Canadian part of the version of the top 50 for 2020, over $20 and over 92 points, all tasted by Dana over the course of a year. And she makes copious notes. Here's one we can welcome. I like this a lot. Lacadie, they're a prestige brut from the Annapolis Valley. The winemaker and owner is our friend Bruce Ewart, who left British Columbia and fell in love with a Nova Scotian woman. And they have family and everything. And he helped to build that Annapolis Valley. And he's leading the charge. And I'm thrilled to talk about him.
Exactly. There's three of his wines available in the BC market. And this one happens to be the Prestige Brut Estate. Brut Estate, and it is a 2013. So this wine definitely has had a lot of time on lees, and in the bottle, it's got what you're going to expect with that time, is those autolytic kind of yeasty, bready undertones. It's made from Lacadie Blanc. That's the grape variety.
Sure.
It's also got this kind of peach jam, marmalade, and nuttiness to it. It's a these are, I love getting these wines, and it's the 2013, as I said, $55.
I mean, for a Nova Scotian wine to have a presence in British Columbia, that's a big deal. That's really good.
It's very good.
Quail's Gate, the Syrah, the Boswell.
Yeah, Quail's Gate is, I mean, the Boswell, I think, is probably one of their flagship wines now. It is a very limited amount of bottles made. It's an estate-grown Syrah, and it came out for the 25th anniversary. It's a very, the Boswell is very savory. This one has a real kind of meaty, smoky kind of undertone, like chocolate and espresso. But it's a powerful wine, $52, and it's the 2015 vintage.
Here's one of my favorite labels and people in this business. Anthony Buchanan, the Ashland Pinot Noir.
This is the first year I have tasted his wines, Anthony Buchanan's wines, and he's a very interesting character. I think what they're doing is they're making really small lot wines. Mm-hmm. This particular Pinot Noir comes from the Black Sage, believe it or not, which is where you don't really, I don't equate Pinot Noir with the Black Sage.
The heat, yeah.
But he uses indigenous yeast, basically minimal sulfites, all that kind of thing. It's very hands-on. It's a silky, kind of high-toned wine. It's got nice length, $32, and it's the 2018 vintage.
Two things about, let me gush about Anthony Buchanan for a second. I've never tasted a better Pinot Blanc than what Anthony Buchanan released last year. Absolutely, absolutely stopped me dead in my tracks. And he's also consulting for Desert Hills and various labels under Desert Hills. And so if you're in that area and you see Desert Hills, you want to pop in there and just see what he's up to as well, because he's consulting them and they're going in the right direction, trust me. Here now, Painted Rock. The Red Icon, the 2017, has been given the honor of being included in Decanter's Wine of the Year list for the January 2021 edition of Decanter Magazine. And there you have it, right underneath our nose, the Red Icon from Skaha Bench.
I gave this one 95 points, so it's about as high of a score as I give. It's the 2017 vintage, $55, and it's, you know, John Skinner and the family have done things right since day one. You know, they brought in the people, they've done the work. It's a very complex, balanced, intensely flavored wine. And it is, you know, really for $55 on a world class, that's still a bargain.
Yep, but it won't be around long. Not given the profile he's earned from Decanter. Burrowing Owl or Cab Franc?
Burrowing Owl, everyone knows them. Whether you're from here or Eastern Canada, they've been around for that amount of time. They've made their labels are well known. I happen to like this Cabernet Franc. It's got the currants and licorice and mocha. It's concentrated. It's just a very satisfying wine. $35 a bottle and 2017 vintage.
Here's an interesting label. Now, One Mill Road, the Home Block, Pinot Noir. These are people that you know. You have to, I mean, I'm talking to the audience here. These are people that well, Dana will explain.
Basically, One Mill Road came from Dave and Cynthia Enns, who sold their winery, Laughing Stock, and had been planning this for a while. And basically, I think they paid $1 million for the property or something like that. And they called it One Mill Road. It's in Naramata, but they are making only Pinot Noir. And so if it's going to be Pinot Noir, you're going to do it well. It's expressive. It's got great levity and persistence. It's a very good first off at $48, 2018.
And finally, Stags Hollow Pinot Noir from Shuttleworth Creek.
So Stags Hollow Shuttleworth Creek Vineyard is, it's of course, there in Okanagan Falls. It is a bright, fresh, kind of sweet cherry raspberry, but it's got a fine structure to it. I like this kind of Pinot myself. I think there's just a kind of a nice elegance to it. It's $27 and it's 2018 vintage.
Dana, that's the run of our BC Canadian entries. Two questions for you. One is, maybe someday when I ask these questions or I print up your list, I'll start to see Ontario wines. How long do we have to wait for those Ontario wines to show up, or will they ever?
Well, that's a good question. I get wines sent from very few people from Ontario as far as samples, and I think it's because a lot of them just aren't sold here, so they don't they don't really bother sending the wines. And maybe the competition is the competition here. They're competing against our own wines. Mm-hmm. So that's the tough part.
Mm. Well, one of them said, you know, you're homers. You drink everything that you make. So how are we going to get into the market? But somebody will step forward. Maybe Taz. We'll see. We'll see who'll do it. And finally, I'm about to do an interview with Ian Tostison, who's the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association, about the life right now and times of our restaurants around us. Are you concerned, just where you are in downtown Vancouver, are you concerned about your favorite restaurants and those locals around you?
Oh, I think we all are. Everyone's being affected in our industry, you know, from service personnel to people in the wine business. And the good thing is, I think there's a lot of people who are really stepping up in the industry and helping each other. And I think that with, you know, anybody who was able to get on with delivery and making meal kits and things like that, that's really helped. But yeah, we're all worried, and there's going to be a lot of people suffer this.
Wine Diva. WineDiva.ca, WineScores.ca, Dana Van Mulligan. She writes for Vines Magazine, Monte Cristo Magazine, Vitas Magazine, and Taste. And WineScores.ca, there's some serious wines you want to really spend some time on. And print up these lists and enjoy. Have a great time. Thank you, Dana. If it's possible, I would love to come back and talk about, I'm kind of torn between your great gift bottles, just before Christmas, of course, and your bubble list, and maybe we can either combine the two or just sort of celebrate both. That's all. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Dana Van Mulligan, the Wine Diva. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Led by veteran winemaker Kathy Malone. Just a heads up for December. A seated sensory tasting experience is available until December the 20th. Seasonal Saturdays at the Bistro every Saturday until December the 19th. There's a holiday gift guide and no limit complimentary shipping until December the 20th. All the details and hours of operation at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area you can often find on site, Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, smoked meats barbecue food truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and my guest is Ian Tostison, who's the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. How long have you been in and around the restaurant business?
Just over 10 years, I guess, now, about 12 years. And there's been various journeys along the way, but quite honestly, Terry, the defining moment was last March when this industry got shut down, which was the right thing to do because of the fear of the pandemic that, you know, we were able to muster up a lot of experience and things in our past with the small team that we have to, we decided to make a real difference for this industry in a time of complete chaos and complete uncertainty. And it's been a brand building exercise, but we've, I said to the team, I said, we've got one chance to do this right, to be the leaders in this for our industry, because I want you to look over your shoulder in 2 or 3 years and say, you know what? We did that, and we did that together, and that's how it's working out for us. It's been tiring. It's been horrible for restaurant owners, understandably, but you know, we're starting to see some light in the tunnel. But a lot of things have gone our way with respect to our relationship with government, and one of the cool things that we did, and you know this industry, Terry, I know you've been around it, is it's very fractured. Back in March, we got 70 restaurant owners together from across the province. We put in front of them a reopening plan that we had garnered enough information from around the world, what we could ever get, and said, look, what do you guys think of this? And they approved it. We send it to the government, and we were the first industry in BC to actually put together that startup plan, and that's really served the industry well. It garnered the confidence of the politicians. The premier, he's called several times to thank us for leadership, but it also gave the public, and this is the big one, the public confidence to continue to go to restaurants when we finally did open, you know, probably 2.5 months later.
All right, let me go back, Ian, 1 year, mid-December 2019. Yeah. What is the normal run-up to Christmas in, say, let's just say, Victoria, Vancouver? What does it normally feel like? And a year later, what is it? What's the reality?
You know, that's a really cool question, because I was watching a show last night with Kathy, my wife, and I thought, that's inappropriate. Those people are standing way too close to each other in that restaurant. And I'm going, that's right. You know, they wear their masks. So if you roll it back a year, you would see restaurants that were full. You see people that, you know, tables that were close together. You would see a reception taking place somewhere in the restaurant with maybe 30 or 40 people all mingling, talking, hugging, shaking hands, and just full with office people, full families. And the time that the industry makes a lot of hay is obviously in December. If you go forward a year now, you're seeing, and this is a result actually because of some messaging from Dr. Henry, which I think she's an incredible human being. But she said about five weeks ago, I really want you, when you go out, to stick with the people in your household. And people have stuck to that because we're Canadian, we're BC, and we're nice people. So we've seen, probably compared to December 2019, probably comparative sales are off 50 to 60%, maybe even a bit more, because people are staying home and they go, I can only go with people in my household, which is technically not totally true, but in the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish here. So business is way off. Takeout and delivery is way up. So we're staying at home and we're doing our Netflixing and ordering or skip the dishes. Yeah. But it's really tough right now. It's the toughest it's been, I think, in the nine to 10 months of this pandemic.
Ian Tostison is the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. The travel restrictions have come fully into effect, of course. But there's an interesting thing that's happened, again, taking Vancouver and Victoria. Normally, downtown Vancouver and Victoria would be buzzing at night. The bars would be going, the restaurants would be doing last service, et cetera, et cetera. What's happened is, apparently, the suburbs have taken over that role because people are eating local. They're not driving around there. If they can walk to something, they'll walk to something. Same thing with Victoria. Their late nights are very quiet, but local dollars are being spent. I'm kind of hoping that the suburb restaurants are doing well, and that if the downtown restaurants can just hang on until that vaccine shows up fully, we might just survive part of this. But there are going to be damages, aren't there?
Yeah, that's a great description, Terry, because, you know, Victoria and Vancouver got decimated because of the lack of tourism. I mean, I remember at one point in our lives, we used to see in both those cities cruise ships coming in, and, you know, places like Gastown and Yaletown were flooded with people. I was downtown yesterday, so I'm one of those guys that went back to the suburbs. So I'm working out of my office in North Vancouver. I went to my office yesterday in Vancouver, and it literally is a ghost town. So you've seen a lot of the big offices like TELUS and a lot of the accounting offices and banks. They're all working from their homes, so they're not downtown. In fact, I understand TELUS has told their employees, you know, don't even come back until the summertime. So we've got that effect on top of tourism. And you're right, this is about hanging on for those restaurants in those downtown cores. Even government workers that were on their way back in Victoria have now sort of pulled back because of the health orders. But it's really interesting how the shift here has been a lot of shifts, and I think they're going to be, in some cases, permanent shifts where people are working and living at home and eating in the suburbs and supporting their restaurants in the suburbs. And if you talk to, you know, people that have restaurants in both markets, they'll tell you exactly that. We're doing not bad in the suburbs. You know, people are walking, they're feeling comfortable, they trust the local owner, they don't have to travel. And that's probably the savior, but it's the bigger restaurants downtown that have got huge, spaces and real estate that are hanging on. There is some indication that the federal programs, with especially the rent program and the wage subsidy programs, have helped tremendously. In fact, I talked to a restaurant group yesterday, and they're quite well known because they're in the hockey business, so you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
And they're great operators, and they said they just might make a break-even proposition in their restaurants downtown Vancouver because of the various support programs, but their business on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is dead, and a little bit on the weekends, and that's going to carry on. So we've got January, February, maybe in March, maybe in April, we start to see some patios, and I'm hopeful, and I think we will start seeing the effects of the vaccine.
Just an observation, Ian Tossetson, BC Restaurant Association. Now, there's good news and bad news. These are very quick observations on my part, but we've lost the patio season. For some people, it worked really well. We've got takeout and delivery. Yeah. The problem is there's some gouging going on with the cost. Like, most of the money for that takeout and delivery is going to DoorDash and Skip the Dishes, people like that, whoever happens to be doing the delivery. And so, but apparently the weekends are still showing signs of life, which is good because people have time then. And as Dr. Henry says, if you're going to go to a restaurant, but hang with your own bubble. So is that all working out?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the bubble is, of all the there's been so much media. You get a kick out of this. Since March, I've been tagged to about over 300 interviews about this topic. I mean, it's just because restaurants they attract everything, right? From, we're responsible for health and epidemics and the economy and labor, and you name it. But you're absolutely right about those things. So let's look at the delivery side for a second here, Terry. So Skip, Uber, and DoorDash, they charge about 30% to the restaurant to perform the delivery. But at 30% charge to the restaurants, there's no money left. Most restaurants are operating at about a 60% capacity. That's all they can do.
Sure.
But when they were working at full capacity, home delivery, which was about 24% of the market thereabouts, or 25% of the market, they didn't really care. It was like a marketing thing. So Terry's restaurant would ship some food out the back and go, great. Hope Ian enjoys that because my restaurant's full and that's just a bit of a marketing cost. He wasn't so concerned. Terry wasn't so concerned about his margin. Now, it's probably close to 50% of your business and you're going, whoa, I'm not making money in this. And these companies, they have got huge marketing muscle. And I'm a free enterprise guy. I don't like to see people putting fee caps on things, but they're so big that there's very little chance for small companies, which we're trying to get a couple of companies in Victoria into the market to compete. But it's a tough one because everywhere you go, you see a Skip ad or a DoorDash ad. I mean, DoorDash just went public yesterday. I think I did an IPO, and I think they're valued more than General Motors. I mean, it was a massive IPO, and they're not making any money, these companies. But that's the technology platform. So I'm hoping the government moves on that. And that trend, though, I think will continue. I think that even when there's a vaccination or we're vaccinated, I think there's always going to be this, you know what? It felt pretty good eating at home and eating Earl's or whatever I had, because those companies, they've now become very innovative in terms of how to deliver the food. So the big trick always was, how do I get my food from my restaurant to Jerry's house and you experience the food the way I want you to experience
sure.
it? So through packaging and all those different things, that's done quite well. Now you see a lot of companies are doing things like pre-cooked turkey meals, cocktail kits, wine kits. You can buy groceries online through the restaurants. In fact, I just saw last night 7-Eleven. There was an ad for a pizza. It was like sourdough pizza, homemade, fresh. I'm going, what restaurant is this? It was 7-Eleven, delivered by, of course, Skip the Dishes. So there's been a lot of transformation. And I think you'll see restaurants of the future are going to be building themselves to handle both markets.
Of course,
both in-store dining and delivery.
I knew this would be a two-parter because there's a lot of information. We're talking with Ian Tostenson, who is the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. We'll be right back to ask some of the hard questions. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area. You can often find on site Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own Smoke Show, smoked meats barbecue food truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great Christmas gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. We're talking with Ian Tostenson, who is the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. One of my sponsors for Mulligan Stew in Alberta is our two fabulous restaurants in Calgary, River Cafe and Dean House, and they're both the same company. And they're right on the bow, right around the corner from each other. And they're doing, you order by Wednesday from a three-item menu, and then you pick it up Friday afternoon between 2 and 4 or 2 and 5, something like that, right in the driveway. Everything is in the box. All of the instructions are there. It's all set out on the table. It's all packaged, and you go home, you cook your meal. It's beef Wellington, whatever, or it's roast turkey, whatever it is. It's spectacular food. And there's your weekend right there. And it appears to me that some of the restaurants that are doing very well are the ones who had an online presence to begin with and just ramped it up.
Yeah, I mean, they got caught for sure with the shutdown, and people went, boy, I didn't have an online presence. That whole market now has moved. Everybody jumped into that. And there's no way they're going to, as you point out, they're not going to abandon this. That's going to be part of it. And I think the relationship between that restaurant and in your home, online, with recipes. I mean, some of them do, cooking with the chef at the restaurant. Like, there's some really cool stuff that's going on. And the one thing I like about the restaurant industry, and again, never having worked in it, but around it, they are so entrepreneurial, they're so innovative, and they kind of figure things out. Now, 15,000 restaurants in BC, I think we're going to lose maybe 4,500 restaurants. We might lose a third, maybe the third of the restaurants. We would have lost some anyways because of just, regular, attrition. But I think there's a lot of people just, they're just at the end of the ropes. They can't hang on here. But we're going to have an industry of really strong players, really innovative players that have got some bench strength. They have all new standards now for the public in the future, built in. The trustworthiness of a restaurant, I think, has even gone up even higher now because of what they've done through this pandemic. So the industry will come out of this better. A lot of people are leaving the industry because they're concerned about its, right now at least anyways, its ability to provide them economic certainty. There's still a lot of people that are concerned about the health aspects of it. We are now starting to see, curiously, a shortage of cooks and chefs in kitchens in British Columbia because it's a demographic issue. And the issue there is, we just don't have enough people to service that market, irrespective of what has just happened. So those things will reemerge. And the government has put in some really cool things. So you remember the days when you had to order your food from here and get your bottle of wine from there. Now you can do the whole inclusive order from a restaurant and get your liquor with it. The government, and this has been something for 30 years, there's been a battle about why do restaurants have to pay retail prices for their liquor. They now get a wholesale price, which is another 20% savings or so for restaurants. And there's, patios have always been a labyrinth of complexity, if you will, to how do I get a patio for the summer? And by the time you apply, it's September, you've missed it. So both the municipal governments in BC, we wrote every one of them and said, look, let's make this happen. And the provincial government, they've actually approved patios right through to October of 2021. So we built in some business certainty for people and also winter patios. So if you're so inclined, you'll find some restaurants have got some really cool outdoor space right now.
Sure.
To go out and hang out in the cooler temperatures. So
Ian Tostison is the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. Yes, it's a big word, but he's the guy. Just follow him, and then and there's the story. Now, a couple of things: is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Can you see, just not too far down the road, if that vaccine rollout works as well as we hoped, that perhaps that will just sort of get us rolling in the right direction and spring around the corner where you can maybe open early some patios? Can you see that maybe if we can just get through January and February and March, we might be able to weather this out?
Yeah, you know what? If you saw yesterday, Dr. Henry did a little dance. I thought, wow, that was really something for her when they, because they're all about the vaccination. And she said something that actually brought tears to my eyes. This has been a long 10 months for all of us. And she said, by the fall, we'll be living a world where we'll be close to each other and hugging. We'll get back to our conventions. So that's not too far away. So say the latest next September, you know, if I see you in a restaurant, I give you a big hug and away we go, and tables will be probably back to where they were. So that's not very far away. So that's the critical point, Terry. You're totally right. January, February, March, to get through that. Because by the end of March, we'll have vaccinated, you know, probably 400,000 or 500,000 people in BC. And I believe there's going to be even faster vaccinations. I think once they start to, the producers of vaccines start to get a bit of a continuity to what they're doing here, we could see that even happen even faster. So I think by the time we get to early summer, I think we're going to be like well on our way to restoring confidence, business confidence. You know, we're going to have the confidence to look forward and say, you know what, there is going to be a future here. Because I was saying to Kathy a couple of nights ago, can you imagine if we didn't have this vaccine?
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be in this mess for years, just like, you know, up and down and close the businesses,
Ian,
stay home and stuff.
Ian, when was the last time you can remember in any of your board meetings, any of your meetings, talking about just such a thing, a virus that comes along and wipes everything? When was the last time you can remember actually talking, just sort of running that around the table, saying, what would you do kind of thing?
Never had the conversation.
Wow.
Never came up. In January, I remember someone saying, restaurants in Richmond are starting, the Asian restaurants in Richmond are starting to close. And I went, okay, that makes sense to me, because they're, you know, they're talking, there's a pandemic going on or something going on in China, and they're concerned about that, so they're being cautious. Now, even then, do we even think there's something that's going on here? I think if anybody sat the boardroom and said, we really start to prepare industry now for a lockdown because there's going to be a world virus that's going to shut us down, I think they would have probably removed that board member, because it just whoever thought about that? We would think always about, you know, liability on liquor and just making sure health standards are in place, but nothing that would have this fundamental destruction to the economy and to people's livelihoods and their welfare. No, not even a mention of it. It's unbelievable.
Now, finally, what can we do? We, the customer, the client, what can we do in these next 3 or 4 months to help the industry get through?
That's a great question. So a couple things. Order up. Despite the problems we talked about with these delivery companies, shouldn't worry about that. If you want to get some great food in your house, do that. If you want to go out for a nice Christmas Eve dinner and or Christmas dinner, a lot of restaurants will be open now on the 25th. Book it now. And if you want to go with some extended family, then they can sit another table. So you can do that. Go out with your household, go out with your wife, go out with your daughter, your son, mix that up and go out and enjoy yourself. As Dr. Emerson said, who works for Dr. Henry, we had a meeting with him a couple of days ago. They recognize how important it is to mental health to do those sort of things. Buy a gift certificate from your local restaurant and help them out. That gives them cash flow.
Good call.
And give that in a stocking or do it for somebody, and start to plan, plan out a little bit in terms of some family gatherings, because look out in the spring and the things you can do down the road and start booking these events and giving the confidence of business. Those little things will make a real difference for the restaurant owner who is, you know, he's hiring 30, 40, 50 people in the community, tend to be younger, tend to be, 15 to 25-year-old, a lot of women and youth obviously work in restaurants. So important, because there's 200,000 people that used to work in this industry, and I think we probably have lost maybe 30 or 40,000. And so, every time you make a transaction with a restaurant, it has such a multiple effect through the local economy. So anything people can do is greatly appreciated.
Ian, give people a website they can go to just to get their information.
Yeah, www.bcrfa.com. There's some dogs in the background here. But bcrfa.com is some great information. And frankly, if anybody wants information or concerned, or just contact me directly, I'm on the website, send me an email. I'll get back to them, because maintaining the confidence of the people that go to restaurants, that they understand what we're doing, is really important, and we're more than happy to handle that. So reach out.
BCRFA, Ian Tostenson,
yeah,
is the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. Thank you for spending this time with us. And I'll see you next Christmas.
Thanks, buddy.
A year from now. But I'll see you. I'll see you, sometime springtime. I'm going to come back and we'll do a recap on this, okay?
No, I love that, Tara. And we'll go take everybody out and we'll have more than six people at the table, and we'll be able to hug and shake hands. And if I don't talk to you, have a great Christmas, buddy.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great Christmas gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com.